always great to welcome back to the show, founder of Miles Franklin, precious metals investment company, in business for 28 years. Welcome back, Andy Schechtman.
Hey, Chris. Thanks, man. It's great to be here. I appreciate it very much.
We were having some interesting discussions before the show. I mean, you were just laying out some key differences between Miles Franklin and some of the others that have run into some big trouble online. I'm just going to let you run with the ball there.
Yeah, sure. You know, look, we live in a very homogenous world, and I think this is important on many levels, but we live in a homogenous world where it seems to me now, the people call it the Amazon effect, where everything boils down to price. And maybe in certain respects, if you're buying a roll of toilet paper, that's fine. But when you're talking about spending large sums of money and buying precious metals in a federally non-regulated industry, reputation should be very, very important. If we look at what's happened over the last now 5 years, we see a troubling pattern, Chris. We see Tulving going out of business 4 years ago. We see the next year Bullion Direct going out of business. In both cases, fraud, bankruptcy, owners in prison. Last year, Northwest Territorial Mint, the biggest company in the country, had been running a 7-year Ponzi scheme, and their owner in prison, and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars once again stolen. And now this year, just last couple weeks ago, a large lawsuit filed against by the CFTC against Monex for fraud. This is a federally non-regulated industry, and price should be important, but if it is your determining factor, history over the last 4 or 5 years has proven that the five biggest online companies in the country, or thereabouts, all of which are amongst the cheapest in the country, have gone out of business, stolen money, and their owners are in prison. We have been in business for 28 years, Chris, and more importantly than that, we've never had one customer complaint, not one. You can spend all day looking online, you won't find one. We've never had a complaint levied against us by the Better Business Bureau, ever. We've maintained an A-plus rating. In $6 billion in sales and 28 years in transactions, we have not aggravated someone enough to file a complaint against us or to write something nasty about us online. All of that is something that we're very, very proud of, and we do hang our hat on. But the state of Minnesota, Chris, said, you know what, we don't care. State of Minnesota said, we're going to be the only state, because of this track record nationally of fraud in the federally non-regulated precious metals industry, the state of Minnesota said, we're the only state in the country that will regulate your industry. And as such, if you sell gold out of the state of Minnesota, as we do, or you are any other company in the country selling into the state of Minnesota, you must be licensed to the Commissioner of Commerce, background checked every year by every employee, and every principal, including the owners, have to be background checked. If any of us have a felony related to financial services, we are forever blackballed from the industry. And continuing education, compliance officers, and an enormous surety bond that we have to place to guarantee that if anything ever went down in terms of theft or impropriety, clients would be remunerated immediately and bounty hunters would be sent to find me wherever I was hiding. The point is that the state of Minnesota has made this the only state in the country that regulates the industry. And as such, I do not know of one company nationally that is licensed in the state of Minnesota. They're all boycotting the state. We're not going to go through all of that licensing, background checks, and surety bond and continuing education. If that's the only state that's the issue, then we'll work with every other state. So here in Minnesota, we embrace that, Chris. We embrace it because it means that your clients or your listeners or our clients and your listeners, whoever decided to do business with us, would never, ever, ever be ripped off. And in an industry that has seen $150 million stolen by the five biggest companies in the last 5 years, 4.5 years, that's something that should not be taken lightly.
What do you think it is that leads to that impropriety?
First and foremost, you have no government oversight. You have no one looking over your shoulder or slapping your wrist. If you look in the securities world, you can't overcharge someone. There are certain limits that the SEC puts in, the Insurance Commission puts put in as it pertains to variable annuities or to securities, how much commission you can make, how much you can charge. You can't churn. There are all sorts of things that you can't do in securities and insurance, or you face big, big, big penalties and jail time. In this industry, that's not the case. In this industry, there's no one there to look over the company's shoulder saying, no, you can't do it that way, and if you do, you're going to jail. It doesn't happen. And so what happens when you're dealing with very large sums of money and no governmental oversight, I guess the attraction for some is too hard to pass up. You know, I don't think that a lot of these guys started out that way, and nor did Bernie Madoff. But when you steal from Peter to pay Paul, it works sometimes. But when the market slows down or people start selling very, very quickly, that is a model that gets you in hot water. And that's kind of what's happened with all of these companies. They were running some sort of a Ponzi scheme where delivery kept taking longer and longer and longer and longer. They were using the money for other endeavors, figuring the next check would pay the past obligations. And in an industry where there's really no oversight, that's what happens. And that's why the state of Minnesota stepped in and said, it's not going to happen here. And although we've never had even one complaint in the 28 years, and even though deep down I view the regulation as a drag, it costs me money, they are very invasive, I have to personally guarantee everything, and in terms of surety bonds, I mean, the whole nine yards, it's something that I don't like doing. However, it makes us different, and I am very, very, very happy to embrace it, because counterparty risk really should be more important to people than it really is. I think it will probably take more of a center stage as time goes on and times get tougher.
Before we move on to the markets or anything, why don't you give us an idea about some of your storage services? And you already touched on this, your Brinks services, as well as those outside the United States, obviously in Canada. Give us an overview.
So we have some real neat products with Brinks. We've been given worldwide exclusives on a couple. We have, first and foremost, we have our Bellwether program with Brinks Montreal. That's going on its seventh year. What differentiates that program from most others in the industry is the way that the clients are billed. Every other facility in the industry that I am aware of charges clients on a percentage of asset value, meaning if you store $1 million worth of product, you pay a percentage of the value of that product. So let's say it's 50 basis points on that amount. As the price goes up, your storage price goes up because you're paying a percentage of the value of what it is that is stored. And the reason that all the storage facilities in the industry, or in the world for that matter, employ that type of pricing strategy or billing strategy is because the largest component of cost in storage is insurance. And so if what you're insuring is going up in value, so too is what you're going to charge those whom you're storing for. Well, we went to Brinks and asked them if we could be different. And we negotiated rather than a percentage of asset value, we negotiated a fixed rate based upon the number of ounces that the client was storing. So that's first and foremost. We have a fixed rate, and it won't go higher. So you're betting on the come, so to speak, with that facility, with that program. You're betting that the price goes higher and your storage rate stays stagnant. And I think that's why we all own gold, is because deep down we feel it's going higher. If that be the case, then this is the program you would want. We also have just opened up, as of last November, and got a worldwide exclusive grant on this from Brinks, the first and only in North America fully insured safe deposit box program in Vancouver and in Toronto. Fully insured safe deposit boxes, where they are brand new, state-of-the-art one-key boxes, not the two keys where the bank holds the master and the client holds the other. These are one-key boxes where the client gets the only key and the only spare, and everything is fully, fully insured. Clients are able to access the facility if they wish, or we send them a Federal Express air bill, and it goes directly up to Brinks in Toronto or in Vancouver, and the business is transacted on their behalf. But what is really important about that program, above all else, is that the IRS has been very evasive as to what is and what is not reportable outside the country. When we started our Brinks program 6.5 years ago, we asked the IRS to please tell us what they meant by directly held, because they were very clear in saying precious metals held outside the United States, in order to be not reportable, must be directly held in a non-financial institution. So as we were building this program, we figured directly held meant segregated. Well, we certainly went extra in having 2 third-party audits per year on that account to make sure that the accounts were indeed segregated. We use Inspectorate, and I believe Inspectorate audits GLD. This is a big-time third-party auditing company that was referred to us by the Royal Canadian Mint. They come in and they guarantee that what is held, directly held, as we believe it to be, in Montreal is held in those clients' names. Well, we continued to ask the IRS. We said, look, we were saying to ourselves, look, we're segregating this, we're auditing it twice per year. That's got to be directly held, right? Well, we kept asking the IRS anonymously through 3 different attorneys. And they finally came back to these attorneys and said, we reserve the right to not tell you what directly held is. About a year later, they came out with a form. And if your listeners were to Google Basic Questions and Answers, Form 8938, what you would find on the IRS website is that they've come out and said in writing that a safe deposit box in a non-financial institution, and that's what Brinks is 100% non-reportable to both FACTA, Form 8938, and FBAR, which goes to the Treasury. So they have in writing on their website, and you can Google this, Basic Questions and Answers, Form 8938, you will see that this account, not only is it billed on a fixed rate, but it is the only fully insured, fully compliant by FACTA and FBAR storage facility in North America. We're very, very, very proud of it. Clients can, or listeners can go to privatesafedepositboxes.net, privatesafedepositboxes.net, and check out that program with any questions. They can feel free to give me a call as well.
Okay, give us an idea then what you see on the markets. Bearishness still left over, if you will, from the bear market, and people are, though, starting to get interested again in the precious metals. You're right there in the middle of it. You see the flow, the ebb and the tide, if you will, of these markets on a forward basis.
Well, I think over the last year or so, really the only difference between the precious metals market and a funeral were the flowers, and it's been a rough ride. At least since President Trump was elected, it's been unexpected. Would have thought it would be much better. I know many, many owners in the industry in my same position, many of which are hanging on by their fingernails. This is something that is counterintuitive. It's very counterintuitive to what's happening in the world. And it's something that I've been talking about publicly for quite some time. It's the concept I see of misdirection. The concept of misdirection, which is more pervasively taught than people would think. It's the concept of misdirection as taught in the book, The Art of War, a book written in the 5th century by Sun Tzu, military strategist for the Chinese military in the 5th century BC. He wrote this book, and it's really impacted my life and the way that I look at things. And this book, the more I researched it, Chris, found that it was taught in every major business school in America on corporate hierarchy. It's taught in every major law school in the country on formulating arguments. It is taught at West Point. It is mandatory reading if you're a CIA officer. It is mandatory reading for military officers. It is a book taught by just about, or mandatory reading for just about every major Japanese business executive. The whole concept of this book is misdirection, how to beat your opponent without throwing a punch, something that I take very seriously when I look at the precious metals market. What I have seen over the last few years when I look at the commercial banks, in particular JP Morgan, is a concerted effort to create a perception of reality that is counterintuitive to what the world is showing us. In other words, the world is aflame in so many areas, and the price of metals has gone nowhere but sideways or down. And At the same time, we look at J.P. Morgan, and over the last 3.5 years, they have amassed over 650 million ounces of physical silver. That is the largest single stockpile of silver the world has ever seen. At a period of time when we've seen silver get cut by two-thirds in value, and they have ramped up physical acquisition in their house account by that amount. In other words, they have created a perception of reality that says silver is bad, and yet they have gone in, because they're the largest short seller on COMEX, yet they have gone in and they have acquired four or five times more silver than the Hunt brothers tried to corner in 1980, and yet no one talks about it. Citibank and Goldman Sachs in 2016, as the price of gold had gone down, had acquired, I believe the number was 1,200 metric tons of gold amongst the two of them. What we are seeing is classic misdirection. Big, big, big money is creating a perception of reality that commodities are bad and equities and currencies are good, and then they come in under the cover of darkness, when everyone is misdirected, looking the other way, and they gobble up the physical commodities, the physicals. So the moral of the story is that the people in this country, in the United States, are always last to the party, and they are being misdirected into equities and into currency. They are being misdirected out of physical commodities. Look at the U.S. mint sales. They are the lowest they have been I can ever remember. The U.S. mint sales are beyond abysmal, yet the commercial banks are loading up on gold and silver unlike anything anyone's ever seen physically. So you put it all together and you see what I believe is the big money, the smart investor, the big guy, getting in before the little guy realizes that the game has been changed. And so as it pertains to my industry, you better have a good, and this is one of the things we talk about with the Minnesota licensing. You better have good financials right now if you're a precious metals company, because it's a very difficult market. We're going to still do $200 million in sales, but that's 25% off of what we did last year. And we've been around for almost three decades. There are a lot of companies out there who've only, you know, been on the scene for a few years and have a big advertising expense and big internet expense, and they're not doing a lot of business. So I guess what I would say to you is simply this. When I look at the future and I see the positioning of the big boys, I know where this is going. But when I look at the here and now and realize how big of a game this is, how big of the stakes really are, I think that it's going to be incredibly bumpy. And when I look at the positioning right now of the COMEX market, it's the exact same thing that we've seen over and over and over again that really pisses people off and gets them exasperated and giving up, and that is the big commercial banks allow the speculators to jump in and push the price of gold and silver way up and record massive numbers of long open interest on the COMEX, and they come in and they smash it time in and time again. And if you look at the positioning right now, there's only been one time since 2011 where they've had more short contracts, that being the commercial banks, in gold and silver. They are concertedly trying to push the price down and to cap it against a very, very large open speculative interest. It's the same thing that continues to happen. It washes and rinses and repeats. One of these days, the commercial banks will get their lunch. But the interesting thing about all of it is that I think the commercial banks realize that one of these days are coming sooner than most of us think because of their physical positions. And so if your intentions are to acquire large amounts of metal, well, the one thing you don't want it to do is to go up in price because it attracts too much attention. So instead, they've capped it. They've kept it very volatile inside a very tight trading range. And counterintuitively to what's happening, which aggravates the investor tremendously, because they make a very concerted, well thought out decision to protect themselves and their family with precious metals for very, very logical, mathematical, economical decisions that make great sense, and yet it doesn't happen, and it goes the other way, and they get exasperated. So the bottom line is that I think where we're ending up, where we will end up, those people who will hold gold and silver will be thrilled that they did. But sometimes you just need to shut your computer off and not look at it every single day, because the big picture looks promising for metals holders, the short-term fluctuations do not.
I just add here another component to this puzzle. In the big picture, I think it's easy to forget that we have an organized movement here by central bankers around the world and our policymakers to hold rates artificially low, which forces everyone, retirees, we're talking about people on fixed incomes, to find a way to get by each year. And in order to do that, they have to take risk. Well, people turn to what? They turn to equities. They turn to shares. They turn to anything to eke out just a little more return on their hard-earned wealth. And that distracts people from real money, which is gold and silver.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you say that, because if we talk about where the gold suppression stuff ever happened, it all happened because of the low interest rate policy that the Fed has embarked upon really for the better part of 25 or 30 years. And it all centers around an economic theory called Gibson's paradox, which basically says the lower the interest rate, the greater the interest in precious metals as they move inversely of each other. Real interest rates and gold should move inversely. In other words, with real high interest rates, people would supposedly buy treasuries with safety. With real low interest rates, there's no reason to buy a 30-year government bond paying 2%. It's just ridiculous. The point of it is that Gibson's paradox, which started this whole thing back in the 90s, is why the central banks forward sold their gold into the marketplace to kill the canary in the mine shaft. All of that changed in roughly in 2001 with 9/11 and Afghanistan and Iraq, and their motivation changed. But yes, their motivation to create a perception of an illusion of prosperity through these low interest rates, at some point you have to pay the piper, and the piper is paid by, like you say, the retirees who are scrambling just to make something. And the low interest rates certainly have their own set of ramifications, and we're beginning to see that. And it's also, as it pertains to the price of precious metals, you know, as they keep these interest rates very low, Gibson's paradox would say gold and silver should move very much higher. So they have really been spending as much ammunition as possible to kill that canary in the mine shaft over the last 15, 20 years because of the low interest rates. And so, look, if I had a dollar for every time people said interest rates should rise right now, I could buy myself a few gold coins. And so I think that the whole crux of pretty much most of the problems we see economically stem from manipulation of interest rates. And it's always been to create a perception or an illusion of wealth.
Keeping with your Art of War theme from Sun Tzu, which I think we all probably have at least one copy right on the desktop, my favorite quote probably is, "Every battle is won and lost before it ever begins." Well, I would just try to encourage our listeners today to keep that in mind, that the battle is won. Precious metals will eclipse all this paper fiat money, nonsense, machination schemes. Eventually, you know, the king of currencies will dominate the market. But the key here is the timing. Try to ignore the short-term gyrations.
Well, first of all, I think you said that very well. That's exactly what I was trying to say, is that don't get distracted by the trees, see the forest. The only parting thoughts that I would have would be just to trust your gut. Most of us go through life saying, "Knew I should have done that. Why did I let go right at that moment when I should have been hanging on?" And emotions are a very powerful thing. As far as pertains to this market, trust your gut, trust your instincts, and have strong fingertips. Hold on through these movements and look at what the big boys are doing. The big boys, the commercial banks, are positioning themselves for something big, as are the Chinese, as are the Russians, as are all of the smart money are positioning themselves for a change. For your listeners who have sweated this out as long as they have, hold tight, trust your gut. Trust your instincts, and we would love to work with your listeners. If there's anything that we can do to assist in storage, in acquisition, in selling, whatever they want, or just to get some information, we can be found at milesfranklin.com. Our two storage sites are Precious Metal, singular, preciousmetalstorage.net. That is our Montreal and our Vancouver regular storage account with Brinks. And our safe deposit box website is privatesafedepositboxes.net. That is also with Brinks in both Vancouver and Toronto. And I can be reached directly at 1-800-822-8080. I'm always happy to answer questions. I guess the last thing I'll leave you with, Chris, in a homogenous world, the two things that set Miles Franklin apart are accessibility. I'm always available by cell phone, 612-290-2729. How many of your guests pass out their cell phone number? I do. I'm always accessible. I'm always available. We're always trying to earn people's trust in business. Accessibility and accountability. We've never had a customer complaint in 28 years, and we'll make sure that whomever is listening to this show won't be the first. Always appreciate the opportunity, Chris. It means a lot to be here, and we take it very seriously. So thank you very much again.
Andy, I agree with you. As you say, in a homogenous world, you know, anything that can separate you from the pack, any heterogeneous aspects are appreciated. And we've seen that here in our dealings with Miles Franklin. So I want our listeners to know, two thumbs up from us. I mean, definitely the customer service and the personal contact is something that separates you from the herd.
I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, and it's what I really hang my hat on. You know, when you email me, I get back to you immediately, and it's the same way with all my clients. It doesn't take much to reply, and it's something we're always talking about here at Miles Franklin to make sure that the customer is treated the right way. Give us a chance. You won't be let down.
The folks working for you, they encapsulate that ethic that you're sharing with the listeners today.
Very much so. In fact, all of our brokers here have been in this industry as long, or with the exception of one, has been in our industry as long or longer than me. And I've been doing this since 1989. I'm 47 years old. I've been doing it since I was 19. Most of the brokers here are older than me, and they all started at investment rarities with my father in the early 80s and have moved with them over the years here. Most of them have been doing this for 30-plus years. So anybody you talk to at Miles Franklin is going to be able to speak to you about geopolitical events, about economics, about political events, about big world ramifications. And you're not going to be disappointed when you call and speak with anybody here. And so that's why we prefer personal communication rather than doing everything online. And I think in a world that we live in that is beginning to change so rapidly, relationships are very important. We're good at relationships, and we're good at treating people the right way. And so give us a chance, and whether it be myself personally or any of the brokers or any of the staff here, I can promise that all of your listeners will be treated with care, professionally and expediently. So they won't have to wait, they won't get a voicemail, and they'll be treated the right way the first time. And that's why I put my cell phone on my business card. I'll be at a conference in Hollywood, Florida. I think you're going to be there. Tomorrow I'm going there. I'll be speaking there, and I will have a booth there. And I'll have 500 business cards on my booth with my cell phone number on it. And because when it's important, you want to talk to somebody. You never realize how important that type of situation is until you need it. And then it becomes the most important thing in the world. Well, we try to alleviate that right from the get-go. And so, you know, that is Miles Franklin. That is what makes Miles Franklin different from all the online companies. Yeah, we have a little bit of an online presence, but our real bread and butter is personal communication, relationships. And I think the further away we get from relationships, the greater the magnetism that will pull us back to it. In the end, we're all about communication and relationships, and everything doesn't have to be non-personal on the internet. There could come a time where that will be the least proficient way to do business, and the most proficient way is the old-fashioned way, and that's to get on the phone and chat with someone and make sure your wishes and your instructions and your things that are important to you are conveyed, and that's something we're good at. We'll always make sure that, given the opportunity, that we'll prove that to your people.
And maybe we'll just leave it with one more concept from The Art of War. That is, always avoid the killing field. If victory is not assured, do not engage in battle ever. Always avoid conflict. The idea here is to hold in for the long term, and you will be victorious, but don't get caught in there, you know, trying to time these markets, because it looks like they have the upper hand there.
And that is exactly perfectly said. One thing I will add to that. Because of the manipulations of the market, we see great anomalies. Continually, lately, have been seeing great anomalies. And yes, it is a buy and hold market. For sure, it is. Especially when you look at the big picture. But there are opportunities within that framework, such as trading gold to silver. You could argue very strongly that any time you get above 70 to 1 on the ratio, 70 ounces of silver buying 1 ounce of gold, it is a gift and should be converted gold to silver. You could argue that buying gold numismatics right now is a very, very smart deal. It's something that I only sold numismatics in the 90s, haven't touched them in over a decade because they got too expensive, told everyone not to buy them. In fact, in 2007, 8, and 9, I was telling everyone to sell them and buy bullion. On numismatics are lower than I've ever seen in 30 years. Because of these anomalies, there are opportunities where you can reposition or trade some gold to platinum. Here again, it's an anomaly. The relationship between the two, or platinum and palladium. There are more anomalies in the marketplace right now than I've ever seen. And so while it's important to hang on, it's also a good idea, maybe an opportunity for your listeners to give us a call and ask us about this and let us show you mathematically, logically, why maybe trading some gold to silver or to platinum or some bullion to numismatics may make sense for you. And I think we can show you very logically, non-emotionally, how that pans out. So, yes, we hold for the long term, but it's also good to once in a while take a reflection, take a look at your account and see if repositioning, bearing in mind they have a 90% correlation through all of history in terms of their movement, or moving to some numismatics or getting some more platinum, repositioning might make sense. So that's something we're good at as well. And if any of your listeners would like to call me directly and chat about that, my direct dial is also 1-800-255-1129, or our main switchboard number, 800-822-8080. Any of the brokers here would be more than happy to chat with you.
You've caught my attention. Obviously, you're referring to the gold to silver ratio there. When that ratio is out of whack between gold and silver, there's a potential to obviously exchange or arbitrage one for the other. Is it really worthwhile, though, when you factor in capital gains and losses, things of that nature?
Some people it's not. Some people may have purchased it at much higher rates, and making that switch, or lower rates rather, making that switch, selling the gold to buy silver doesn't make sense. But if you're trading gold bullion to gold numismatics, that's a like-for-like exchange in some cases. If we're calling apples to apples, if you bought gold at a higher price and sold it, got the capital gain loss that you booked, the capital loss, and that's where the reporting requirements end. So let's just run through this real quick, and I'll let you run. Let's say you decided to do this. So you have 50 ounces of gold that you bought at $1,600 an ounce. You sell those 50 ounces of gold to us. We buy them at today's rate. Let's call it 13 and a quarter. You now book that $275 per coin loss, and that's where your reporting requirements end. You have no more reporting requirements. You tell your accountant, I sold 50 ounces of gold for a $275 loss per ounce in 2017. Here's my receipt. The accountant will never ask you what you did with the proceeds. With the proceeds, you turn around, you swap them into silver at a appropriate ratio, getting far greater upside potential in your silver, getting a tax break on your taxes, and privacy that you just sent to the federal government that you sold your metal in 2017. So the point of it is that there are options or times where it works. And if you were to Google gold-silver ratio, one of the very first things that will pop up, in fact, I found it on golddealer.com, gold-to-silver ratio, and it goes all the way back to 1915. And if you were to put a ruler at 70 to 1 on that graph, you will see that anytime you're above 70 to 1, you're in rarefied air. And 90% of this graph is below 70 to 1. So when you are at 70 to 1 on this ratio, it is screaming, make the switch, so that you have much, much, much better potential because of the volume of silver to gold than you do with gold. And again, when we talk about gold and silver, to us, it's not an investment, it's wealth. But if you're looking to increase your wealth, then you take advantage of these anomalies. And this is a very unusual market right now that has various anomalies that should be exploited, whether it be gold to silver or gold to platinum or gold to gold numismatics or palladium, out of palladium into platinum because it's gone up too fast in relation to platinum. We're into silver. I mean, there's just a million things that we can talk about that are highly unusual. And I'll leave your listeners with this. If I had to encapsulate what has made me successful over the last 30 years, 29 years, it has been exploiting anomalies. And over the past 30 years, there's only been about four or five of them that I can really think about. And they're always short-lived. Four or five of them right now. Typically, you see one every few years, not four or five together at the same time, which tells me that Mother Nature is being messed with right now. Mother Nature will level the playing field. And so I think if you really want to get the most out of your metals portfolio, yeah, you hold them, but you also there are times when you exploit these anomalies and take advantage of what is highly unusual. It would be as if it snowed in Phoenix tonight, and Phoenix aren't going to run off to buy snowmobiles tomorrow because it's an anomaly.
And I'm so glad you brought this to our listeners' attention because, you know, the markets do have a tendency to return to the mean. And you probably like, you know, Bollinger Bands like myself. I love to see those three standard deviation moments. Sounds to me like you've identified several here. And the key takeaway, this is a gift. It doesn't come around every day due to repositioning by the central banks, as well as the interest rates you referred to and so many other issues going on. Markets are out of whack because, frankly, we haven't been very big on numismatics simply because so many folks have been burned. You know how they're pumped by some of the unscrupulous dealers. And when folks really should be stacking ounces, you know, they were stacking numismatics at the peak.
Circulated $20 gold pieces right now for less than gold. A 1900 $20 Liberty in AU grade. It'll look brand new. It's in a gold eagle. Career, I have never seen that. In 2008, I was flying around the country paying people a $400 premium to a $1,000 gold price. For those coins, I would have bought as many as you had, swapped into gold bullion back then. That was what I was telling people to do because there was an anomaly in 2008. The numismatic market went crazy right before Obama got elected because everyone thought confiscation was coming. I flew all around the country buying back everyone's portfolio and swapping them into bullion because this anomaly was so unusual. All of a sudden, premiums are higher than I'd ever seen by huge degrees. It's the opposite of what we're talking about right now. And that is because markets have a way of going from a fair value to extreme overvaluation. And when they correct back through fair value to undervaluation where we are now. And that's exactly what has happened. And part of the reason that this market got so crazy is because the dealers cannot hedge that premium. The dealers can only hedge the amount of gold that they have. But when that premium got way out of whack, huge premiums, a lot of dealers got burned. Gold that they had was all hedged, but that premium, if you have 1,000 coins in your inventory, each of which have a $400 premium attached to them, that's $400,000 you have in unhedgeable risk. You can hedge the metal value, but when the metal drops, often the premium drops with it. So the dealers then, let's just say the premium got cut in half. You just lost $200,000. You won't make that much selling five times that amount. So the point of it is that this market got real crazy. Now the premiums have disappeared altogether on circulated numismatics and even low-grade uncirculated to the point where you can buy this stuff at the same price as bullion. That is an anomaly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There are real opportunities where your listeners don't have to spend a penny.
Now, if the typical listener gives you a call, gives your brokers a call, sends emails, can they swap their, let's say, mint Golden Eagles?
We will send them boxes, labels, packing material. We will insist with insurance on shipping everything back. And I've never seen a lost registered mail package ever in 30 years, ever. Turn around and send you back whatever you wanted in numismatics, real easy for you. And by the way, Gold Eagles carry no dealer reporting requirements whatsoever. It's the honor system on anything you were ever to trade. So in that example, yes, we would buy back the Gold Eagles, swap them right into the numismatic coins, whatever they wanted. The numbers would be enough to make people say, yeah, I like that idea. I wouldn't bring this up if I didn't think it was a heck of an opportunity. But yes, that's exactly how it works. They send back their coins by registered and insured mail. The minute those coins are received, we turn around and send back whatever it is we agreed upon.
This is why we appreciate having you on the show, because you bring value for our listeners and to Gold Seek.
Well, I love to be on the show with you, Chris. I really do. I appreciate the opportunity. Hope to see you this week down in Florida. I'm always here for you. If there's anything I can do or for your listeners, feel free to reach out and give us a holler.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.